I don't think you have to be a parent to know what waiting for a baby might be like. The expectation of a new arrival is one that's felt across families and friendship groups. There are several members of this congregation who, particularly this year, have coped admirably well with the questioning from others about when the expected arrival within their family might put in an appearance. The arrival of a baby might have an expected date, but due dates and actual dates are more often than not very different. In fact, only 4% of babies are born on their due date. I did look this up last night. And 90% are born 2 weeks either side of the predicted date. Because children arrive in their own good time, sometimes early and sometimes late. Preparing for an unpredictable date means living expectantly. There's no time for procrastination. Instead, not knowing the day or the hour means planning ahead. Rooms are prepared, clothes are bought, names are considered, bags are packed and left sitting beside the door just in case they're needed sooner than expected. Having experienced both scenarios, they are equally as frustrating. The late arrival kept us waiting for 2 weeks and included a false alarm that had us trail all the way to the hospital, only to be sent home for a few days because nothing was happening. The early arrival had already been planned to be a week early by the hospital and then decided to appear another week early, surprising the hospital and of all of those who were on standby to be helpful. Another preacher preparing for this morning uses that description of childbirth, of the unpredictability of birth, to challenge the set date and practice of Christmas and all its predictability. They pose the question of, what if Christmas only happened when the first flake of snow fell in your area? What if we never knew what date Christmas was going to happen on this year? And instead we were waiting for that first flake of snow. How would you know when to put your Christmas tree up? How tidy would your house be from sort of the moment it gets a little bit frosty? The most important thing to watch every night would be the weather. Just in case. It's an image that captures the unexpected nature of Jesus' arrival in the lives of others through the gospel stories. Mary's betrothal is disrupted by the messages from an angel that a child will be born. John the Baptist's ministry of transformation is disrupted by the arrival of Jesus to be baptized and the realization that this is the one, this is the child that has been promised. Some fishermen have their lives disrupted as Jesus walks along the shoreline and invites them to leave their nets for bigger fish. That reading from the Gospel from Matthew 24 captures that unpredictable nature of Jesus' arrival and challenges those who follow Jesus to live waiting for the disruptive Jesus to walk into their lives and call them to a task. There's no knowing the day or the time. Instead, the followers are to live in the moment, preparing for the kingdom amongst them. Or even more strongly, to live as though the kingdom is already here and enable those who need to know that they belong and that their lives have purpose and meaning to discover God within them. You will see from the cover of the order of service that the original intention of this morning was to notice that it is World AIDS Day today. And out on the road screen as you leave, there is a box with red ribbons for you should you want to go away from this service, remembering that it is World AIDS Day today. I was 19 in 1988 when World AIDS Day was founded. And I think the visions or the memories of my that particular part of my life are of that tombstone and the inevitability that life ended because you had HIV or AIDS. What a transformed world we live in, that where if you know that you have HIV and AIDS, then that inevitability of death is lifted. In fact, the Terence Higgins Trust were on the news this morning talking about the fact that there is a drug that stops you getting HIV and AIDS. And there is the possibility that HIV and AIDS could be removed from our world. But much of that is about ensuring that people who might be in those communities that have HIV and AIDS are aware that they seek diagnosis, that they know that there are treatments that have positive outcomes for their status. And perhaps it's our responsibility to ensure that significant groups who are vulnerable to infection receive the news. And that's one of the many things that the Church of Scotland's HIV and AIDS campaign is doing across the world, across the United Kingdom and across the world. And when we've had the Heart and Soul Band here, we have supported that cause. All kinds of people remain at risk, but particularly women who suffer from gender-based violence and migrants because of their living conditions and economic insecurity. For those who do not know they are at risk of having the disease, there is an unpredictability to their existence. Perhaps we have a responsibility to be challenging the practices of our world that make people vulnerable to abuse, violence and isolation, so that they might discover peace and health, along with the responsibility of ensuring knowledge and understanding. But the events of Friday afternoon shifted all of our attention to remind us of the unpredictability of human life. On a morning when we hear the words from Isaiah speaking of turning weapons of war into tools of peace, our television and newspaper images still capture being caught between war and terrorism, between celebration and heroism. Some of you will think that you heard the passage from Isaiah recently, but you heard the similar passage from Micah on Remembrance Sunday. But I also want to remind you that there's a third passage in the Old Testament, in Joel chapter 3, where that peaceful image that we hear in Micah and Isaiah is turned on its head, and the plowshares are turned into swords and pruning shears into spears, as that passage calls for a victory for God. In the actions of those who tried to stop events on Friday, the news noticed a Polish man who took a narwhal tusk from Fishmonger's Hall to try to stop the attack, and someone else who picked up a fire hydrant to also try to stop the attack. Moments when items of peace are used for defence. Some might ask, where was God in the events of Friday, in the events of terrorism? Our scriptures today invite us to notice that it might not be God that is missing, but those of us who choose to live by faith. The invitation to participate in the anticipation of waiting for God to be with us is meant to encourage us to live with responsibility, noticing where the presence of Christ might be needed, and being the bearers of the light of Christ to those places. Instead of enjoying the gift of that responsibility, we have a tendency to see it as a burden keeping us from getting on with our lives. Bruce Epperly writes, Advent calls us to be persons who already have one foot in God's new age and who imagine ourselves as being already the change we want to see in the world. We must have a holy unrest inspired by God's own unrest, God's own lure towards novelty in our personal lives and social structures. On this beginning of a new Christian year, we are expected to live as those who are expecting the Christ child, and yet know that Christ is already with us. The story disrupts our settled living. To notice the outcasts of our world set on distant hills where they keep their unclean presence from dirtying our sanitary lives, and to invite them to the birth of love. The story disrupts our settled living by noticing the strangers from foreign lands who bring strange gifts that will broaden our understanding of faith and community. And invite them to share the stories that expand our understanding of what it means to be a community. The Advent season, the Gospels, prepare us for the unpredictability of angels, shepherds, wise people entering the story. But the reality is that the angels, the shepherds, and the wise people live with us and around us. And they're very often the people we are ignoring. They are the champions of causes, those whose illness and abuse sets them apart, and those who are accused of tainting our identity. So let us live as those who know that Christ is alive, accepting the gift of unpredictability, and open the door to a community no longer managed by prejudice, but created by God. Amen.